We'll conclude our glimpse of Maker Faire in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the dusty confines of the Radio Amateur Information Network studios, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report.
While we may get 20, 25,000 people going to Dayton, they've got 150,000 people at one Maker Faire, and they're doing this in multiple locations around the world.
That's the voice of David Witkowski, W6DTW, Executive Director of the Wireless Communications Initiative at Joint Venture Silicon Valley, CEO of Oku Solutions, LLC, and a board member of the Baynet Group, WW6BAY. In this rain report, we conclude HapHolly KC9RP's conversation with David about the ins and outs of this extraordinary ham radio opportunity, Maker Faire.
If I have a radio club, not heavy duty in APRS or Fusion or that sort of thing, would there be a place at a Maker Faire for building or construction of old-fashioned crystal radios?
I think there would be. I know there's a story out of the Maker Faire in New York City last year where they had set up a booth in the Hall of Sciences. They offered a simple code practice oscillator kit that was just a handful of components. And they had a very positive response to that. I had heard that what they call the build sessions for that, you know, usually in the chaos of the Maker Faire, it's better to say, we're going to take 5 people at 2 o'clock and then 5 people at 3 o'clock, rather than having an endless stream show up at your booth. But my understanding was that all the sessions were full and that they had literally lines of people. So if you were into kit building, certainly I think that there would be an opportunity to do that. I believe that the proper approach to a Maker Faire is to go in and offer amateur radio as a tool to help makers do things, because they're always looking for solutions, not to approach it as, hey, we really want you to get licensed. And the reason why I think you want to do that is because while a lot of people have been able to cobble things together in very ingenious ways, they also, I think, lack certain skills, like, for example, in antennas. How do you make an antenna work? One year at the Maker Faire, one of our displays was antenna resonance. We set up a small display that showed how, by changing the length of a wire, that you could change the resonance of an antenna. It was a very simple display, but a lot of the makers came to our booth and were asking a lot of questions because they had said, well, boy, I was working with this Bluetooth robot and I couldn't make it work, and it seemed like it would work sometimes and not others. And I kind of figured it was the antenna, but I didn't know how to analyze it. How do I solve this problem, or how do I make the antenna better? And so we were able to talk to them about antennas. And what happened from that was that a couple of the people who came to the booth wound up getting licensed. And then the next year they became part of our group. And so I do think that there's a role for us to play in the Maker Faire, and it doesn't have to be very high tech, because you are addressing a very generalized audience, especially if your intention is to reach out to younger people. Simple things like kits, antennas, or soldering techniques could be very valuable.
You wrote an article for QST that came out in January 2017 called Maker Faire Success for Ham Radio Clubs.
I wrote the article after meeting Tom Gallagher at PacificCon. We had set up a meeting shortly after he became the ARRL CEO. And we discussed a lot of things in that, including his vision for what he wants to do with the ARRL in terms of interfacing with education and with getting outside of the hobby and recruiting other people into amateur radio and exposing them to it. So I agreed to write an article about what we did at the Maker Faire in 2016. The response has been very good, I think, both within the amateur community. I've received a number of emails, queries online, people reaching out on social media saying what their experiences have been with local Maker Faires in their area and or with going to the big Maker Faires in other parts of the country. Also, I've had very good response from the Maker community itself.
Where does Maker Faire fit into the ARRL scheme of things?
Tom Gallagher has defined for 2017 a strategy for the ARRL to be involved in the flagship Maker Faires and to try to encourage people to be involved in mini Maker Faires as well. The ARRL will be in Chicago It will be in New York. They're trying to find resources to be in the Bay Area. But of course, the conflict with Dayton makes that a bit of a challenge. If nothing else, the ARRL has been good about offering support in terms of small soldering kits. And then they're also, you know, of course, willing to send literature and such. So all those things will help.
You're listening to the thoughts and observations of David Witkowski, W6DTW, a Silicon Valley ham who views Maker Faire as a golden opportunity for involving ham radio with the younger set. We'll conclude this conversation with David in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available 24/7 for transmission, downloading, and streaming from therainreport.com on Twitter when our Chicken Nugget software cooperates at The Rain Report, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
At the risk of saying something that could potentially offend a fellow amateur, certainly if there are 800,000 radio amateurs in the United States, there are 800,000 different ways of looking at amateur radio, and I respect that. Coming into the hobby as I did in 2006, I can say that I came in just on the verge of the code conversion, where we went to a no-code test. So I experienced, personally, a bias from some people who felt that I was not a true amateur radio operator because I didn't have a code certification. I didn't have my element one. That's unfortunate because I know a number of people in amateur radio who were extremely smart. And it may be because I live in the Silicon Valley. A lot of the people that I work with in Silicon Valley are very smart because they work in the industry and that's their job, is to be smart. But I do think that there are a lot of them that probably would never have become licensed had they had to endure a code test. And so I do think that there are elements within our hobby that are exclusionary. They take an exclusionary approach to the hobby. And their attitude would be, well, you're not a real ham unless you can send and receive Morse code. And I think that that's an unfortunate approach to the hobby. I'm not saying I have a problem with code. In fact, I taught myself the code because I wanted to do it, not because I had to, but because I had an interest in it. And so we do have, I think, within the hobby, certain closed-in elements of thinking that does lead to an exclusionary approach. And that has not served us well. That has not served our hobby well, and it has not served the goal of getting people involved in the hobby. For that reason, I think that in many ways, we have now got to go to the maker movement and show our value to them as opposed to expecting them to come to us. I like to use what I call the Christmas tree model of amateur radio, which is to ask ourselves the question, how does amateur radio relate to this world of hands-on making technology? And I think there are two models. One is that amateur radio is a Christmas tree on which we hang other technologies and we put them on and take them off and everybody designs their tree their own way. Some people like digital and some people like analog and some people like Morse code and some people never work below 50 megahertz and that's all fine. But from the outside world, that perspective doesn't resonate, no pun intended. From the outside world, the maker movement is the Christmas tree. And now amateur radio may be one of the very pretty decorations on it, or it could be the star at the top of the tree if we want to make it that. But we have to fit what we're doing into their community, because while we may get 20, 25,000 people going to Dayton, they've got 150,000 people at one Maker Faire, and they're doing this in multiple locations around the world. I mean, the Maker Faire has gotten to the point where it's so popular that they actually hosted one at the White House a couple years ago. They've done them in other continents. They've done them in Europe. They've done them in Africa and Asia. And so it's really become kind of a worldwide thing. And I think the question of where do we sit in a prominent position on that tree as a shiny decoration or the star on the top of the tree is really up to us. We have to earn that right to be on that tree. And I think that by approaching it as, here's what we have to offer to you, is how we get that community to respond to us.
Where can someone learn more about the Maker Faire, especially how they can be part of one?
There is a website, which is makerfair.org. And fair is spelled with an E on the end, so it's makerfairwithane.com. From that, you can go to links to all the different regional fairs. As I'm sitting here, I typed in the URL, and there's Maker Faire UK, there's Maker Faire Chicago, there's going to be a Maker Faire in Kuwait, Miami, and of course, we talked about New York as being one of the big ones. And then there's an opportunity to look at the Maker Faire and see photos or information about previous projects. It's a good place to sort of get ideas and sort of thinking about how would you fit into the Maker Faire and how would you fit your club's activities into the Maker Faire. It's a good place to start.
I suppose you could find some Maker Faire videos on YouTube.
I'm sure that you would probably spend an entire weekend watching nothing but Maker Faire videos.
And that concludes our look, or should I say listen, to Maker Faire with a major ham radio supporter of it, David Witkowski, W6DTW, Director of the Wireless Communications Initiative at Joint Venture Silicon Valley, CEO of Oku Solutions, LLC, a board member of the Baynet Group WW6BAY, and author of an article about Maker Faire in the January 2017 QST. We are disappointed to announce that the Chicago Maker Faire scheduled for late April has been postponed to sometime this fall. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all of our Maker Faire friends, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and somewhere on iTunes. Keep on hamming!